I don't remember if you discussed what your folks did when you were growing up. What did they do for a living?
Well, my father was a sanitary engineer. My mother, she was an housewife. My father was a sanitary engineer and was sent by the government to India, I remember, to lay out a sanitary program for them. He went to Australia once too. Call it with the man. And the family business was China glass. My grandfather had a China glass store. It's different over there than what it is over here. Here, the market store, like Montmartre, clothing, luggage, China glass, everything. Over there, China glass was separate. And my grandfather had the store. And he passed away, my father inherited it. And they still had the store when I left home. I left in 1908.
Did they discuss politics much at home?
My father was quite a politician. They tried to get him at one time, I remember, to run for Lord Mayor of London. Which one of two what is wasn't as big a job there as it is here, being mayor. And he ran up against some obstacles in his own political party, and decided finally not to run. But they wanted him to run, but he finally backed away from it, as I recall it.
But they were politics was something that was discussed a lot at your home?
Oh, yeah.
What was their political background? Were they middle of the road or liberal?
They were what they call liberals. There were two parties there at that time, the conservatives and the liberals. My father was a liberal.
Did that include, did they discuss questions of labor and capital much?
Oh, yeah, right there. Because he was a member of the Royal Society of Plumbing and Engineers, which I suppose, I don't know the inside workings of it or what their program was, but it evidently was a union.
It was. Have you been through most of your life also politically active? Politically active?
I think probably all of my life I've been politically active. You see, when you're in the Union, I took over in 1925. You've got to be a politician. I don't care what anybody tells you. You've got to be a politician. And I stayed there for 10 years. And I went to work for the Port of Seattle as maintenance superintendent. I thought that's a political job. You got to hold up your end of it. For instance, if you go into political office, you have a fellow from the veterans. Another fellow from the labor movement. You have another fellow from another segment of your life, the city life. And they are looked upon as the representative of that deal to bring those votes in that particular group. What you have to do. I mean, you don't have to do it, but. If the group that you belong to, like I was in a labor group, if you have any standing at all with them, you're going to have some problems.
And in order to be reappointed to whatever office you're getting, you have to, if your group isn't supporting,
you have to support the person that's holding the high office. You've got a contributory share.
So, have you also voted in regularly all through your life?
Yeah.
How about back in the days of the general strike? Did you were you then a politically active person?
See, like I told you before, I wasn't here.
No, but I mean around that time, at that point in your life.
I wasn't interested. When I was working with the tools, I was generally working in the capacity of a foreman or superintendent on the job. And, you know, you didn't have too much time to be politically active then if you're going to do a job for the fellow you're working for. Because you have your plans, you know, you have to study your plans, take them over your night when you first start the job. And check the model through, see where everything is going to go, how it has to be done. So your mind is pretty well occupied. You don't have too much of a policy. After I got through with German, I also went into the dissertation job, delegate to the Central Council, and I was vice president of the State Federation of Labor, president of the Seattle Central Labor Council, and so on. Well, then you have to do the policy for your own people. For instance, when you come to elect a mayor, for instance, the labor movement, we get the labor movement pretty well behind us in the building trade. And there was an understanding. It wasn't publicized, but there was an understanding that the building trade would submit the names of some of their people to the mayor to become the building superintendent. And that way, why the union would get a fair shake on any building that came up. So that's what we did.
Has there been a political leader in the last couple of years who you felt spoke for you, represented your point of view?
Oh, I think so. I know on the Port of Seattle, we had three port commissioners there, and we often had conferences, you know, political conferences, and in the best manner to go about re-election of one of the commissioners. And my viewpoints usually were comparable with theirs.
Anyone on a national or state level?
I didn't get up too much on the national,
not necessarily someone who you personally knew, but someone who stood for the type of things that you were in favor of.
Well, I think that George Meany and I got along pretty well. Now, when they had the 41 convention here, the AFL, I was the assistant secretary to George Meany, and we discussed several things as far as the movement is concerned, and the entry of the labor movement into the political arena. And George was very sensible on it, very good head. And he and I got along very good on what we discussed.
No senators or presidents or anything like that, though, who you felt were saying the type of things that you wanted said?
When, in the State Federation of Labor, for instance, when I was elected to the executive board of the State Federation of Labor, we had a fellow in there by the name of Jim Taylor. And Jim was a machinist by trade. Very conservative fellow. Well, I don't think I should say conservative. He was very knowledgeable in politics and did a splendid job for the State Federation when he went to Olympia to the legislative sessions. He was a good negotiator, would always take the if he didn't take them, he'd always try to take them anyway, but he usually succeeded in taking some of the leading lights in the legislature out to some bar and have a few drinks with them and talk politics, and was able in that manner to get some pretty good results for the labor movement of the state. After Jim got through with the job, a fellow by the name of Ed Weston was president. Ed didn't have the political knowledge. He didn't have the head to become a real labor leader like Jim Taylor was when he went to the legislature. So he had to rely upon, I can't remember the fellow's name now, but anyway, he made him a legislative agent to deal with the legislature. But he didn't get the results that way that Jim Taylor got when he was in there. Ed Weston was more of a bombastic, always had a pretty good vocabulary. Make a lot of talks, make a lot of speeches, but with the, I probably shouldn't use the word intellectual, but with the more intellectual labor leaders, why, he didn't go over too good. His methods weren't, he was too bombastic for the average businessman to listen to. Maybe one incident. We were going to negotiate with a fellow by the name of Bill Shannon here, who represented a big Eastern outfit, who were going to build the Shovelton steam plant down at Renton, which was a big job to make electricity. And I was secretary of the Building Trades Council, Bob Watson was president, Ed Weston, my secretary, was president of the State Federation, and we were negotiating with Bill Shannon, and it seemed that every meeting we went into, West would raise the hackles on Bill Shannon. Finally, Bill said to Bob Watson and I, after that meeting adjourned, he said, "Well, you have to have that fella down here. Does he have to come? I can get along with you fellas, but there's something about him." He says, "He just, I don't know." He says, "I just can't get along with that fella." So we talked to Doe, and we left him off the committee from then on. And we got along, got the Shuffleton plant organized, got all of our people on it, and had no trouble. And it came at a time right after the Depression when work was very, very scarce. And it was just a godsend to have that kind of work. But that's the way things are, you know?
What do you think is the most important issue facing the country today?
Well, of course, going through a person's mind, there are lots of things that go through your mind. Inflation is one of the worst, of course. Unemployment. Of course, I'm pretty much excited about the dishonesty of our Congress. I don't think they're doing the population the job that they should be doing. Now, whether that's the main thing or not, I don't know. Probably inflation is about the worst because it affects the people with families. A married couple has had three or four or five children. With this inflation going on, they have a pretty hard time getting by. Their taxes have trebled. in the last 4, 5, 6 years. Everything else is at least doubled. And it's pretty hard to raise children under those conditions when you're not getting the money you should get. I think inflation, in my opinion, would be probably one of the worst.
Mm-hmm. What do you like most about this country?
About the country itself? I think, also this is the greatest country in the world. Coming from another country and coming here, I appreciate it probably a lot more than what the average person would that is born here. The people are very compatible to me. I've earned a good living in this country. I've raised a nice family in this country. Everything is here for us, for a person to take advantage of if he has the knowledge or he wants to put out the exertion to get it. I often think of these people who have taken these trips to foreign countries. Talking to a fellow yesterday about it. They go to London, they go to Switzerland, they go to Germany and so on. But this country has everything in it. You don't have to go to Switzerland to see mountains. You've got the Rocky Mountains here. You've got the Grand Canyon of Colorado. You've got all the plains. You've got the prairies. You've got the forests. You've got everything in this country. So why people go to other countries, I don't know.
What do you like
I think
least?
We have the greatest country in the world here.
What do you like least about the country?
What do I like least about it? Oh. See, one thing brings about another. The chiseling of politicians nowadays, I think when it's found out, it puts ideas in the heads of other people to chisel too, because they get by pretty easy. Probably too. Desegregation, I would like to see that come about. There's a lot of nice people in this world that are unfortunate because they're black or they're yellow or they're red or something else, but they're still people. And I've had some work for me in my job, and I found out some down nice people. And that's probably one thing that I would like to see go a little faster.
Has there been anything in the news lately that's made you feel especially good?
Well, I think this. I think that the way the country is being run now, I think that Jimmy Carter is going, and I didn't vote for Jim, to be honest about it. I think that he's putting a little bit of a scare into some of the people back in Congress that things are going to be found out about them. You notice now about this Korean deal. This fellow Park was passing money around to the politicians. And I think that's only one isolated case. I think it's been going on for several years, and I think they're being subsidized by maybe not foreign people like Korea, but I think by our own people, maybe oil people and so on. That's one thing that I don't like about the country.
So maybe to answer this question just in your last answer, and ask you if there's anything that's been in the news lately that's made you feel especially angry. Anything in the news that's made you feel especially angry.
Well, I don't recall of any news in the paper lately that made me very angry. Outside of insignificant things, like the Mariners baseball team. Thank you. They won't buy any pitchers, so they can win a few games.
For an expansion team.
No, I don't know. I haven't read anything that's actually made me very angry. Of course, I don't get angry very much. Probably that's one reason, too.
Mm-hmm. What great people, living or dead, do you admire most?
Well, of course, my knowledge of people actually has been mostly in the labor movement. And I had a very great respect for Bill Green when he was president of the American Federation of Labor. I thought he was an outstanding man. Cool head, never went off on a tangent on anything. Everything had to be figured out for him, you know. He didn't do anything unless he knew what he was doing. And George Meany is following in his footsteps in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm. Do you think most people can be trusted, or that you can't be too careful with people?
To be trusted?
Do you think that most people can be trusted, or do you think that you can't be too careful with people?
Oh, I think you can trust most people.
Do you think that most of the time people try to be helpful, or are they mostly looking out for themselves?
Of course, I discussed that before you put that on quite a bit. But no, I think that most people are trying to be helpful. I think that people innately are very conscious of the fact that they would like to help people when they need help. I know that's the way it affects me. And I think that's pretty well true of most people, too.
I think... would most people try to take advantage of you if they had the chance to, or would they try to be fair?
I think most people try to be fair. I think there are people that try to take advantage of you, but they're certainly in the minority.
Mm-hmm. Do you think what most young people need most of all is strict discipline from their parents?
I think at the start, yes. The start of their life, if they had good discipline, that they wouldn't be running off the way they are now. Now, we have a school right across the street from us. And the children there, that's mostly nice children, but there are some pretty wild kids down there. You probably noticed when you drove across the water that I had two barricades on each side of the bridge there. And those kids have dug those up twice and dumped them into the creek. And I've got it down here. I've got another little dam where I take water from to irrigate my place. They go in there and they tear down the dam so I can't get any water. Not because that I'm mean to them, because it went just the other way. I'm pretty nice to the kids. I'm always inviting them up to have candy and cake, something like that. But it's because of the fact that they do not have the proper parental supervision to show them which is wrong and which is right. The kids are off on their own. They meet other kids, and the more they meet with them, the wilder they get. The teacher came over here one day, talked to me. He said, "Did you know that you have some of the kids coming over here smoking marijuana down by your creek?" I said, "No, I haven't noticed it." "Well," he says, "I have." And he says, "I wish you would take notice of it and kick them out the next time they come in," which I did. And I went down just about every day and waited for them to start in, you know, and they'd see me, and then of course they'd go. I still think that with the proper parental supervision, those kids wouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think most people who don't get ahead just don't have enough willpower?
Oh, no, I don't think that. I think that's lack of education. They don't get ahead.
Do you think a few strong leaders could make the country better than all the laws and the talk?
You know, I've thought about that for a long time. I don't know why. We have 500 congressmen back in Washington, D.C., and I don't know why we have 100 senators. I think we could cut those down to about 25% of their size, and you wouldn't have all of the harangues and the differences of opinion, the inability to arrive at a proper settlement because of the interference from so many people, a mob, you might say. I think if it was cut down to at least 25% of what they have at the present time, the country would be better off. I found that out with my dealings when I was in the labor movement. If I appointed a committee, I always kept it down to about 3 members. If it got up to more, 9, 10, 11, or 12, there was too much haggling in the committee, they didn't get any place, and you'd have to wait and wait and wait. But with 3 members, why, they sit down and talk the thing out, and pretty soon they have a solution. And I think that's true of our Congress.
People sometimes say an insult to your honor should not be forgotten. Do you agree with that?
Insult to your honor?
An insult to your honor should not be forgotten.
Oh, I forget all of those things myself. I mean, somebody might say something I don't like, but he just passes it over my head, and the person that made the remark would probably be sorry himself in just a few minutes when he thought it over, you know?
How do you feel about the school desegregation issue in Seattle?
I haven't gone into that very much because I'm not in the Seattle district.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know too much about it. And I'd hate to give an offhand opinion of something I don't know too much about.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the last time I asked you whether you thought a general strike is possible today.
I don't think it is.
Are there any circumstances that you can see under where you would support a general strike?
I would never support a general strike myself because I don't think they're necessary. Mm-hmm. If some particular union, because they're all autonomous, all of the unions belong to the American Federation of Labor, are autonomous, they can do as they want. And if the United Auto Workers, if they want to go on strike, that's their business.
How necessary are employers to running businesses? Could workers run businesses without employers?
I don't think they'd be very successful. I think they tried that in England, didn't they?
I don't know.
When they had the Labour government, I think they put a lot of Labour people in the head of various businesses when they took them over, and they weren't very successful.
How about the cooperative industries, you know, where the workers make decisions themselves, put the profits themselves?
Well, don't they usually employ some head that is knowledgeable on that particular thing?
Do you think that's the way that they work?
Oh, I think that's what they do. I've never been in a cooperative myself. Well, I won't say that. I was in this farm, I belonged to this farmer's cooperative for a while here. But I don't attend the meeting. I mean, I just belong to buy my stuff from them. I used to have the chickens up here, you know, and then I had a cow once, and I had a horse for the kids and so on. But even that cooperative, they hired experts in that particular line of work. And I think that's the only way they can be successful in operating any kind of an industry, regardless of whether it's cooperative or not. If they don't have the knowledge to operate it, why, they're not going to be very successful.
Mm-hmm. Have you read anything about the general strike when it happened? Have you ever read any books on it?
About the general strike here, or what?
Yeah, the 1919 general strike in Seattle.
No, I've never seen a book on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there's any ever been published. That But I had that committee, the government committee, Macy committee, that refused to give them any increase, which was, of course, in my opinion, the general strike was a mistake in the first place, because it was on a falling market, the war was over, shipyards were down in their work, and to call a general strike, I thought it was foolish.
How did you know, for instance, that it was about the Macy Award, since you weren't here at the time?
Well, it was in the papers. See, I was in Portland. They had shipyards down there, too.
Oh, so the Macy Award was a question down there also?
Oh, yeah, it applied to all over. Oh, shipyards, yeah. A government deal.
Were they unhappy in Portland the way they were in Seattle?
They didn't seem to be worried too much about it down there. But I wasn't working in the shipyards. I was working on a power plant for Charles Seymour Company of San Francisco. And so I didn't know too much about the shipyards down there. But my recollection is there was no disturbance down there about the Macy Award at all. It mostly came up here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.